الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah ta'ala that He make it such that the last day of our earthly life is this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is a topic that refers or affects all of us in our day-to-day activities, especially in the time of fitan. As we are moving, getting closer towards the time of Dajjal, there'll be more and more fitan, there'll be more and more things that appear unclear to us. There will be more and more things that become confusing to us. How do we navigate this journey of life and protect ourselves, save ourselves from confusing things and from confusion? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not left us yateem. He has left us with a lot of direction in everything we do, from the time we wake up, carrying on the different aspects of our day. At the time when we go to sleep also, a person is taught what to do. A person goes to the toilet, he's taught what to do. A person in his business is told what to do. Every aspect of life, we have been shown what to do. So when the times of fitna also come, and the confusion comes, also at those moments, we are told what to do. So one hadith, beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, from 500,000 ahadith, he brought 4,800 ahadith in his kitab, famous kitab, Abu Dawud Sharif. And from there he explains there are four ahadith that are sufficient for a person of insight and intelligence. So we'll just quote part of this hadith and we'll explain how it helps us, especially in today's time when there are so many things that are becoming more and more confusing. One of the meanings of Dajjal, this word Dajjal, you'd find the root letters are Dal, Jim, and Lam. So one of the meanings from there is to gold plate. Gold plate, outwardly it looks like gold, but just penetrate the front veneer, what you'll get, no gold, it's steel in there. So in other words, outwardly many things will seem as A, but if you just have to penetrate, go beyond the veneer, go beyond the window dressing, beyond the, so to speak, cover that's there, beyond the smoke that's there, you'll find that there's nothing that the surface is showing. It's complete opposite. So one of the things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or in this hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us, this hadith is al-halal ubayyin wal-haram ubayyin, that halal is very, very clear, haram is very clear. So to speak, that green is there which is halal. This is where you should be remaining in. Red is there, don't go. It's a no-go zone for you. That is haram. And between this green and red, there's a yellow area, which is an area of doubt called mushtabihat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully saying, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. There's no time in today's bayan to explain this hadith in detail. But just for us to understand, that person who's meticulous, that I'm going to stay in the green zone, what is clearly halal, there's no doubt in it, that's what I'm going to engage in, that's what I'm going to do. What is clearly haram, there's no doubt about that, I'm going to stay away from that. But this yellow area also, where there is doubt, there also I'm going to stay away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person that has this policy in his life, istabra'a lidinihi wa irdihi, this person will protect his deen and he'll protect his respect. What a beautiful way for us to navigate in difficult times. Just stay away from everything that's haram and everything that's doubtful. There was a great tabi' by the name of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh quotes him also in his Bukhari Sharif. He says, I haven't ma ra'aytu shay'an ahwana min al-war'i, da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. I haven't found a shorter cut. I haven't found an easier method to getting taqwa. We all want to get taqwa. In the month of Ramadan, one of the reasons why we keep fast, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we can get taqwa. We all want to get taqwa. He said, I haven't found an easier method of gaining taqwa than having this policy in one's life. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكُ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكُ. Leave out everything that causes you doubt and go for those things. Do those things. Engage in those things where there is absolutely no doubt. Now, there is something that is common, something that is more and more occurring in our society, and many people are getting confused by it, and many people are getting affected by it. Now, this is something that affects many, many people. And I wish to touch on it, although it's a difficult topic to speak on, it's something that's not very easy to speak on. However, because of the amount of people that are getting affected by it, amount of people that are losing funds in it, sometimes there's widows, sometimes there's orphans, sometimes it's masajid, sometimes it's madaris, sometimes it's people that are sick and ill. That's all the funds they got, but they are losing it. And it's happening because of a new business that has come up, almost like a niche market. And that business is issuing of Sharia certificates for investment, so to speak, Islamic investments. And people are looking at these certificates and they're putting their money in investments, thinking it to be solid. Remember something, it's a different topic, it's a topic for another day. What makes an investment a good investment? So many people just think that a Sharia certificate, there are scholars that are giving or has their names on that certificate, automatically it makes that investment a good investment. Recently we heard of an investment, I won't take the name because the idea is the principle behind it and not the name. So there was a big investment and there was a lot of smoke that was gathering around. People were worried or people were questioning, many accountants, auditors, people were phoning that how is it possible that you can get 16% return on an investment. So this company was engaging in cattle and they were investing monies in cattle. And that smoke was there and it was outwardly, the smoke was billowing. It, to many people it appeared as something that very, very dangerous. But because the Sharia certificates by people that were being paid to issue these certificates were hanging high in the air, people continued investing and investing until that investment went completely south. And now you even hear of the same investment being investigated for what? For being investigated as being a Ponzi scheme. The values and the assets are completely different to what was stated. I ask you, how is it possible in the house of Allah Ta'ala, I'm asking you, how is it possible to have an investment that has a certificate, Sharia certificate, giving compliance and telling people that everything is okay, and that same investment is being investigated as a Ponzi scheme? What weight, what assurance, what strength did that certificate have? All it did was it brought poor people's money in there. And then you'll find people that need the money now, they don't have any access to the money. So this is something that we have to be very, very careful of. It's something that is there. Remember something, many people get confused. And they say, no, so long as there's ulama involved, it has to be right. Remember something, you'll get good accountants and you'll get bad accountants. You'll get good doctors and you'll get bad doctors. You'll get good engineers, you'll get bad engineers. Recently we are hearing even of magistrates that are on the take. Many people are reporting this, that even the legal system now is being influenced. So don't think that every fraternity is clean from this. So like that, you will get those ulama that are genuine, pure, will warn you, be careful, this is not for you. There is doubt in it, there's a problem in it. And this was the style of Anbiya alayhi salam. When they would give the dawah, they would say, فَاتَّقُوا wa ati'un, wa ma أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and obey Allah. They would always put people into taqwa. They would take people away from anything that was doubtful. Obey Allah. I'm not asking you for 1 cent. I don't want 1 cent from you. My reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one incident that is coming to mind. My father is, Allah ta'ala grant him long life and good health. In the mid-80s, they were leaving to go, or he intended to join a group of 5 people that were leaving for Jalalabad. So he went to Hazrat Abdul Haq, Mulana Abdul Haq, Umarji, Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked Hazrat Mulana, he says, Mulana, I wish to join your group. There are 5 of you all. I would like to join you all to Jalalabad. So Hazrat Mulana Abdul Haq replied, he said, Mere liye bohot faida hai. Hamare liye bohot faida hai. For us, there'll be a lot of benefit by you joining us. Why? Because we are 5. If there are 6 that are flying, then automatically we get a group discount. Because 6 people are flying, so there'll be a group discount. But because there's financial benefit for me, there's financial interest for me, I'm part of the group, I can't give you mashura. Go and take your mashura from Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayh. Look at the honesty of the man. He's not being paid to issue one certificate. He's not claiming anything. Yeah, there is personal benefit indirectly. One more person joins, then we will get a discount on the fare. But what he told him, because there is personal benefit for me, I can't be saying what I am saying. So now this becomes a problem in many, many instances where you'll get ulama that are issuing certificates, especially in this banking sphere. And many people, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us, don't know. Just this week, I had two executives that had come and complained that we didn't know, or these people were pious people, they never ever engaged in life insurance. Now that we're handling their work and we got to attend to their work, there was some broker that came and told them that life insurance now is halal. Before it was ulama and told us, and we knew that banks was never a place for a person to invest. Stay far from it. But because this is a niche market, people are getting into it. They're charging huge money to get involved and call it Islamic banking. And just to explain to you, this Islamic banking, this term Islamic banking, which you will see that this conventional banks used, example, EBSA, Standard Bank, and you will also see First National Bank using it, this term Islamic banking. What is this term Islamic banking? Does anybody here, how many people know the difference between Islamic bank and Islamic banking? How many people know the difference between Islamic bank and Islamic banking? The only difference in the words is an ing behind the word Islamic bank. When you see this word Islamic banking with an ing, the first thing it's telling you, it's not an Islamic bank. That's what it's telling you. The reason why it's not an Islamic bank, it's because you can either have one of two. It can either be a riba institute, or it can be an Islamic bank. You can't have both. Like how a person asks his wife does a pregnancy test. He says to her, Dulhan, Pyari, whatever he wants to call his wife. He asks her, you did a pregnancy test, are you pregnant? So what will she tell him? Either yes or no. You never hear of a wife saying that I'm half pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. A person is either honest or the person is dishonest. Like that, a person is, nowadays is something that's common. When a baby is born, you see people sending a blue poster. It's a boy. And people are so excited. Or sometimes you'll see them sending a pink poster. It's a girl. Did you ever see anybody sending half blue and half pink? It's half a boy, half a girl. You won't get that. So it's either a boy, it's either a girl. It's either Islamic bank or it's not an Islamic bank. But to get the buy-in from the public, to make the public think that this is Islamic bank, they added ing to it. Remember, this is actually gorillas in the mist. Gorillas symbolic of something that's very dangerous. Mist means very hard to see, very hard to understand. So what it is, it's a proper riba institute. A riba institute now, which maximum majority, by their own financial statements, majority of the income is generated from interest and interest-related activities. So what they say, if you ask them and you start digging deeper, they'll say it's an Islamic window. It's a window. If you look at a whole building and you see one window, does the window mean it's a building? The building is the building. A window is just a window. So they're calling themselves a window. In other words, everything from there is financed by the Riba Institute. Now we ask ourselves, should Muslims ever go there? I'm relating this incident so we can understand what's happening behind the scenes when we're seeing certificates in the name of Islam and Islamic banking. So one of the persons of one of the bank, again, I'm not going to mention the bank, the principal is important. So this person came to our offices. He told me himself, he was the one that started off and headed Islamic banking in one of the three major banks. I mean, heard it from him personally, he gave me the encounter. So there's no qila wa qal, I'm hearing from Peter and Paul. This is directly from him. He says that at that time in this bank that I was working in, we didn't have Islamic banking. So I was called up to the head office. And when I went to the head office, they told me that this is now the new trend. The market is moving in this direction. We need to commercially advance our entity also. We need to introduce Islamic banking. This is the way it's going. So he says, I replied, I got no idea how to start this thing. This is a riba institute. How can I start Islamic banking? It's idea. They said, 8 million is your budget. You start it. You do whatever you need to do. Make it happen. So he said, now I went to look for a scholar that can make it happen. And I found a scholar that could do it. And I'll give you one example now to show you what happens behind the scene. And he's telling me that that scholar that he employed, the first year his bonus was 1 million rand. Only his bonus. I'm not talking about the remuneration. So you can understand what money is involved. Understand, brothers, this is not any attack on any alim or person. But if somebody is doing something that's right, if an alim is doing something that's right, it will remain right. If that alim is doing something that's wrong, it will be wrong. Not too long ago, one youngster came in this parking lot here. He said, I came to ask you something. He says, my sister had a dream. And in the dream, she saw Medina Sharif. And she phoned one alim that's quite popular. He comes on the YouTube, etc. And she knew him from Hajj, because he used to give talks there. So he phoned this alim and asked, my sister phoned this alim and asked this alim, that what's the interpretation of this dream? I saw Medina Sharif in the dream. So this alim gave this interpretation, this dream, oh young girl, means that you must get married to me and we must go to Medina together. Now he came to ask me, what must I do? And this is what you have to be careful. I said, tell your sister, stay very far away from that type of alim who's giving this type of interpretation. Another case also came recently. There was a woman, married woman, that had a puncture on the road. And there was a young alim that stopped to help her. And he helped her, and in that interim, they exchanged phone numbers and they got a bit friendly on the WhatsApp. And before you knew it, this alim was having an affair with that woman. Now I ask you, can we just say everything is right because there's an alim involved? We have to be careful. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. I'm not saying everyone is doing it, but when we're seeing clearly those avenues which ulama warned us upon, that don't invest. We all use banks and we all have bank accounts, but we don't ever assume that this Riba Institute is giving us any type of Islamic profits. We can start feeding our family, feeding each other, of having them to sponsor us. Recently, after Hajj, the Standard Bank had taken out a whole brochure on Hajj. What has a Riba Institute got to do with Hajj? Ask ourselves, what has this got to do? So that's why we explained before that you'll see when it comes to vehicle finance, a tasbih is put on the gears. When it comes to other types of finance, home loans, etc., big masajid are put in the back. People reading salah are put as pictures to try and get a buy-in from people to make them think that this is halal. Now this is, understand what goes on behind the scene, just to simplify things. Sometimes you'll find youngsters, I may take 5 minutes extra in today's bayan, please excuse me, it's a topic that's very important. Many people are getting confused. So you'll get children that are playing, especially Bakrid time. Few children will pull one child and they'll take him to an area which they call a slaughter place. In the house they're playing this, inside the house. So one child, some children will hold the leg, some will hold the hands, and they'll make Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, like they're slaughtering the child. And that child that's being slaughtered to, he'll start kicking and shaking and like he's dying. And after a while, he'll take out his tongue and he's dead now. And what the other children will do, they'll take him and they'll pull him to the skinning area, and now they'll start skinning him. And after a few minutes, he'll wake up and he'll start running again. Come, let's do it one more time. Now what you call this? This is just Kali Kali. Kali Kali means we're just doing it so that we say we are doing it. Now this is what is happening very often as far as the banks is concerned. I'll give you one example as far as home loan, or what we call as home finance is concerned. Now you'll find Mr. Tangavelu is selling his house. And who's buying his house? Mr. Khan is buying his house. Mr. Khan is very happy that Mr. Tangavelu is selling me his house. What he does, his family is happy, children are happy, everyone is happy. The agent now asks him, who's financing it? He'll say, FNB is financing it. Mr. Tangavelu, you ask him, who bought your house? He'll tell you, Mr. Khan bought the house. Everyone knows, the agent knows that Mr. Khan bought the house. Mr. Tangavelu knows Mr. Khan bought the house. He'll ask, who's the seller? He'll tell Mr. Seller, Mr. Tangavelu. So everything is clear. The accountant now, he spoke to his accountant. When his accountant eventually brings it under his asset and liabilities, he'll bring it under Mr. Khan's name. This house belongs to Mr. Khan. Now we need to get finance for the house. So when you go to the bank will say, listen, what we have to do here is you have to sign this agreement that the bank bought the house 50% and you bought the house. The bank bought the house 80%, you bought the house 20%. The accountant doesn't believe that the bank is owning the house 80%. This person doesn't believe the house is owned by the bank. The seller doesn't, Mr. Tangavelu doesn't believe the house is owned by the bank. What we're doing? Kali Kali, Allah must think that this is a partnership so that we can charge much, much more in the repayments. One person came not too long ago, he's telling me that his repayments were 21,000. The bank unilaterally put it up to 29,000 in the name of Islamic finance. He said, I could do nothing. Which partnership or which trade can one person claiming to be a partner unilaterally put the rate of repayment up? It's happening all the time. And then he says, to try and close it, he tried to increase the amount quite a bit. And then they dropped now their profit share. And they said, okay, now you pay less interest. Why? Because you increased your capital. Ask ourselves what's happening in the name of Islam. That's just one idea. This is talking about home loan or home finance. If you look at the other things, for example, if a person now, you find people that are in the banks now promoting. What they're promoting? Fixed deposits. Deposit your money in the bank, and the longer you keep your money, the more returns you're getting. We are calling it profits. I brought here just for our understanding, Standard Bank's rate of return, indicative profit. What before was completely known as interest, now it's known as indicative profit. If you have balances below 10,000, your eyes must pop out. When you see that profit rate of return is linked to balance, understand that there's a great warning in red, danger in red. To give you an understanding, if a person is doing a trade, if he's got 10,000, he can make 100% profit. It's not related to that amount that he's trading in. 10,000, a person can sell an item for 20,000, 100% profit. And if he's got 50,000, sometimes he can only make 10% on the 50,000. So when we see, the first thing is it's related to balances. Understand there's something that's not right here for me. So balances below 10,000, 33 days to 3 months, 6.25%. 6 months to under 12 months, 6.35%. 18 months to under 24 months, 7%. 36 months to under 48 months, 7.1%. The higher amounts you put, the more the return. The other thing, it is linked to the number of days. You understand that if somebody is doing a trade for you, which they claim they are doing trades for you, then if the profit is made in day one, you deserve the profit in day one. You don't wait for each day. And you pull out your money in day 10, doesn't mean that you don't get all the profit in day 10. Yeah, they've linked it to something called weighted average. Even if we assume, hypothetically, it's halal, then also it's the shabbuh bil haram. It's imitating haram. We can't even drink water, clean, pure water, in wine glasses. Why can't we use the wine glass to drink clean water? The reason being is the shabbuh. We are imitating those people that are drinking wine. So this is a very serious matter where a person is getting involved in interest and is bringing interest in his life. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the greatest cause of economic maladies in the world today is riba. He explains it like he's swelling. Sometimes a patient is losing weight and people are worried. Doctors are worried he's losing weight. And suddenly this patient develops his swelling. And that swelling looks now as though he's picking up weight. But inside that swelling is all pus and all dirt. His riba is like that. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Person who is to take riba, he'll wake up on a day of judgment. He'll wake up on that day almost like a zombie. Person who lost his mind has been afflicted by the touch of shaitan, by the touch of jinnat. This person will wake up like that day. Imagine how embarrassing it will be for a person when he wakes up on the day of Qiyamah like that. There's one incident which I'll terminate on. My time has expired. I apologize for the extra time. Just to show us that how honest Sahaba were. If a person has got honesty, he'll understand that we don't go and try and make things that are haram, halal. Otherwise, what will happen is we'll end up deceiving people. People will get deceived. They'll think now that these riba institutes, these banks. I was explaining that person that came to tell me, one of the things that he mentioned, he was, as I explained, he was the founder of the Islamic division. So he says that I gave the scholar that I introduced or brought in, year one, we gave him 1 million rand bonus. And then he explained something else. And he said that the reason why the bank wanted to do this and the reason they wanted was to advance their commercial benefit and to make themselves more competitive. And ask ourselves, are we sent in this dunya to help the interest or to help the kuffar in promoting haram? Or are we sent here to promote halal? Are we sent here to be promoting taqwa? Ulama of the past, sahaba, were on taqwa. A man who's true, he's genuine, he'll tell people stay away very, very far. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned this before, that one occasion they needed money for the madrasa, and one check came in from an Islamic division of one bank. He said, send it back to the sender. Send this check back to the sender. This type of money we don't take into our institutes. We want unity. We want muhabbat. But if we're going to be consuming this, how do we ever expect to get muhabbat? Anyway, I'm terminating on this hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. It's a longish hadith. He explains that once we were out in battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had sent us out. And it was a difficult battle. And people were now moving out and they were fleeing. فَحَاسَ النَّاسُ حَيْسَةً. So he explained that I was from amongst those that left the battle also. And when we left, we were very, very worried that now we left the battle. What is going to happen to us? We are returning with the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So So we said, let us present ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَنَا تَوْبَةً أَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكْ ذَهَبْنَا. If there's tawbah for us, we will get tawbah. If there's no tawbah for us, we will leave. It was worrying them that they had left the battlefield. So he says, فَجَلَسْنَا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ. Before Fajr, we were already waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waiting there, we were worried that we made a mistake. What's going to happen to us? فَلَمَّا خَرَجْنَا قُمْنَا إِلَيْهِ. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out for the Fajr Salah, we went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقُلْنَا نَحْنُ الْفَرَّارُونَ. He said, when we saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't make any excuses. We didn't try and justify anything. We didn't say, no, there's this standard and there's this standard and it was dangerous and we wanted to come back. He says, we told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first thing, نَحْنُ الْفَرَّارُونَ. We are the people that ran away from the battle. We are the people that fled the battle. In other words, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are clear, we are straight, we are open. That is the style of a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَقْبَلَ إِلَيْنَا. Rasulullah sallam went closer to them and told them, بَلْ أَنْتُمُ الْعَكَّارُونَ. You all are actually people that came back to re-strategize. You all came back to get more support, to go back out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. You all are not people that left or ran away from the battlefield. قَالَ فَدَرُونَا فَقَبَّلْنَا يَدَهُ. He says, we went closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We kissed the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told him, أَنَا فِئَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That I am the person, I am the panahgar, I am the base of all the Muslims. Hazrat Maulana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi on this point, he says the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the tasalli, and the reason their tawbah was accepted was because of that nadamat, that regret they had in their heart that we did something wrong. And because of the regret, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them that comfort, that you all are not people that ran away from the battlefield. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them this comfort because of the regret. One weakness, one problem, one major problem with having Sharia certificates, making things that were known to be haram, halal, is a person will never have that regret in his life. He'll never think that I did something wrong. Why? Because he's thinking he was doing halal. He was taking that same riba money and feeding his family. Majority of the income is riba. The institute is riba. He's going there and he's investing his halal, clean money. He's feeding his family. How will the tawfiq of tawbah ever come? My time has expired. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allah give me the tawfiq first to make amal on what is being said. We are moving in times that are dangerous. Don't ever fall for one certificate. Take your money and go there. There was a person that passed away and he was a very sickly person. He came, before he passed away, he came to tell me that I saw one investment, and in that investment I saw the word Anglo. I just saw that word Anglo there, and behind that investment there was an alim. And it appeared, with the certificate he was giving us, it appeared to be so good. I took my life savings and I put it in there. Now I'm sick, I'm ill, I lost everything. All that money is gone. So don't get carried away by certificates. Don't get carried away by names. Don't get carried away by this word Islamic in everything, this word Shariat in everything. Very often it's there just to get a buy-in from the public. And once your monies are there, very often you can end up losing your money. A woman that loses a husband is tragic. It's difficult for her. But when she takes her money, this widow invests it in a scheme that she sees when some certificate there and all the money is lost. Can you imagine what goes through her heart? One is losing the husband and one is losing the money. We have to be aware. We have to be careful. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.